died today and you saw the face of God in love, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that love could break your heart when you're down so low, you cannot fall, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction would cause an effect? Makes you turn around, makes you try to explain, makes you forgive and forget, makes you change, makes you change. If you knew that you would be alone, knowing right but being wrong, would you change? Would you change? If you knew that you would find the truth that brings a pain that can't be soothed, would you change? Would you change? How bad, how good does it need to get? How many losses, how much regret? What chain reaction would cause an effect? Makes you turn around, makes you try to explain, makes you forgive and forget, makes you change. Why risk falling? Why risk falling? If everything you think you know makes your life unbearable, would you change? Would you change? If you've broken every rule and vow, and hard times come to bring you down, if you knew that you would die today, if you saw the face of God in love, would you change?
Change, because we know that change is the only constant in our life. That's how we deal with it. That makes life easy or not. So 10 years ago this month, I decided to undergo radiation treatment for breast cancer. And what was interesting to me about this whole journey through that was the overwhelming support that would come in unsolicited or solicited, and the emotions that come along with discovering that, ooh, you've got it. So this talk today about what are the three T's of transformation are exampled in a lot of personal conditions that I've been able to thrive through. And this journey through cancer from the day I was told that I had it to the day I was told that I did not have it was 30 days. And I did not stop business. I traveled during those 30 days. It was an amazing journey, but I did agree to do radiation and to do an anti-hormonal therapy pill for a couple years and so on. So 10 years ago, I continued to be in remission, and I'm so grateful for that. So when you gather your support team around you, it's important to listen to words that have meaning for you. So I remember a couple different situations where the words were so meaningful to me that came through that person from God. My husband does not remember saying this to me, but I remember it. So when I had to call him and say, I just got the phone call, he said, oh, well. You're choosing to do this so that you understand what others go through. And I went, yes, I'm going to hang my hat on that one. That's what I'm choosing to do. So it's interesting how then you develop these teams, you know, close to you to support you moving through change that happens constantly. So today we're going to journey through what does time, talent, and treasure have to do with transformation. So as we know, as we go through life, that these three terms kind of merge together, almost like, I don't know, what's the difference between them? So I'm going to try and focus on each one separately and together. And one way that I want to introduce how we learn to thrive is from our home setting. And so I know it's going to be a little personal here. My mother and father are online watching this, so I'm going to say hi. age 93 and 94, so blessed that they're still here and couldn't make it today. They're a little bit south of Coeur d'Alene right now on a ranch. I want to share with you what they taught me. So I am a past resident of Alaska of 25 years, so I grew up in Alaska, in a time when Alaska was really the last frontier. And you'll see three distinct pictures up there. All of them have stories behind them. So the one picture, this one, is my airplane. And yes, that's me, a long time ago. And I have my hand on a prop. And the prop is important in that picture because there was a time when I was flying with my instructor that he made a bad choice. And the result was the prop became dead in the air, 900 feet above the ground. And so it was an interesting journey, a quick journey through all of that, and I'm here to talk about it. The plane did not crash. People thought they were coming to a crash site in outside of Anchorage, actually, near Eagle River. And that's a whole nother story about how to thrive through that, allow yourself to feel intense emotion as you're going through it, and then what do you do with the aftermath of that? So that was a demonstration for myself about how to shift through all of that. And even though my dad wanted to kill my instructor because of the choice that he made, I consented to continue on with him and learned that I was his very first student to get a pilot's license. Oh, my goodness. So there's a lot of stories about airplane incidences in my book there. So one of the things that I learned from my parents was how to navigate airplane mishaps. So you'll see another picture up there. Of my dad, one of my dad's airplanes. that had a problem. And I want to share with you the conversation that he had with me to alert me about the problem. So he and my mother had left to just go on a jaunt through the wilderness in the Chugach Mountains. And we had gotten a call from a ham radio operator saying, your father is going to be calling you from Glen Allen. Be waiting for his call. I'm like, okay. So I get the call. I'm like, hey, so what's up? He goes, well, you know, we're here and we're alive. And I'm like, okay, cool, great. So what's going on? Well, you know, we had to use our sleeping bag to put the fire out. I'm like, what fire? He goes, well, the engine got kind of hot when we landed. And so it was good that we had a stream nearby to be able to get water to help deal with all that. And I'm like, nearby, you didn't land on the water with a float plane? No, we kind of missed it. Oh my goodness. So, you know, so it's ramping up about what the heck happened. So Glen Allen is a 3-hour drive from Anchorage. I had to drive up there to get them. The plane was way out in the wilderness. And we had to bring a helicopter in to dismantle the airplane. So the airplane, it's very strange to see a helicopter flying off with the wings and then coming back to get the airplane, which is now flying through the air without wings, and loading it all on top of a huge long bed truck. And the problem that we had also was that my dad was always thrifty, so he grew up during Depression, right? So we got a helicopter that maybe wasn't as big as it should have been. So as we're flying along with these wings in the bottom of the helicopter, we're on stall speed the whole time. And now it's raining, and now it's getting dark because we're not flying as fast as we thought we were going to make it back. So my mom's with this big loading truck on Glen Allen Highway where there are no lights. You're in the middle of the wilderness. And so she turns on the truck headlights so that we can at least see them, so we can deposit the plane. So the plane's already on the truck. Now we're putting the wings on the plane in dark. So this is the kind of situation that I was constantly graced with in Alaska, and how you you have to have some sort of sense of humor that goes along with, what do we do next? How are we going to get out of this one? And so we had another journey. We went to Prinicky's cabin, which is out in the wilderness near Lake Clark Pass. And my dad decided that he did not want to go home the same way that we came in, that we flew in. So he thought, well, let's just go through Merrill Pass. Well, Merrill Pass, if anybody knows about Merrill Pass, the whole story really is in the book. So I'm going to shorten it down to say that we had to pass through what I call Death Valley very quickly, which has got airplane carcasses all over the place. And we're heading for this little tiny hole that is still closing in to be able to shoot through the clouds. And we made it, obviously. So my dad was an excellent bush pilot in Alaska with thousands of hours of flying, and did commercial flying as well in Alaska. And so we have a lot of interesting stories about how we thrived no matter what came up with the airplane. Because, you know, you can't just pull over the side of the road if something goes wrong. And there's not airstrips all over Alaska, so you have to learn how to, you know, maneuver in tundra or whatever. So with that, what I want to say is that thriving was something that I was taught from an early age. And it's just something that's been embedded in me from my parents. So thank you, Mom and Dad, because I've had lots of opportunity to be able to practice that. So as we look at what is this time plus treasure plus talent equals thrive, exactly what is that and how do you do it? And it's not like you do one and then the next, you know, they all kind of merge together. So we're going to go on a journey today about looking at how do they merge together.
how can you possibly smile? How can you cultivate spirit? How can you listen to that inner voice? How can you focus on what you want to grow? And then what you put out there is what you get back. So we're going to go through all of these in a different way, with starting with the smile method. So I created this on my own, thinking, you know what, I thought I liked doing what I was doing, going from retail management at JCPenney to starting my own talent agency and a music conservatory, nonprofit music conservatory, all this in Alaska, and I'm still not, like, getting it. I'm missing it somewhere. I don't know what it is, but I'm missing it somewhere. So I thought, you know, I'm just going to create this smile method. So this is what you can do if you're wanting to increase your treasure, your talent, your time with all of that. Do the smile method. So what puts a smile on your face? And just list it. It could be petting a puppy. It could be sitting next to a stream. Whatever it is, start writing it down. I'm actually doing this with my grandson, who is 14 now, and I'm texting him every day at 4 saying, okay, what put a smile on your face? And he's texting me back. So we're accumulating his list, because you know what? He's starting to get into the too much technology. So his dad, my son, was like, yeah, I want to put you guys together here. So we're working through this. I did this, and I listed about 100 things. And then in my organizational brain, I decided to categorize it. I came up with 4 things. And those 4 things I've been doing for decades now. So what happens when you can actually do this smile method is it triggers something internally. And all of these things about attracting what you put out there and really embedding yourself and meditating on it and all that, it works. It absolutely works. There's also a journal that did a research, or published a research study on the power of smiles. And it's called Mitigating Pain Through Facial Expression. And what they discovered is that smiling is a facial expression observed in their studies that surprisingly is often done during the experience of acute pain. And so they discovered through their research that spontaneously smiling during a painful task achieved lower heart rates and higher levels of positive effect during the recovery from pain. So literally, it could be like, all right, I know I need to smile right now. How can I do that? You know, and it's also that phrase of fake it till you make it, you know, and I mean, sometimes that works, right? You just decide this is what you want to go for, and when you keep focusing on it and it's coming from a deep urging, it's amazing how it can surface in interesting ways. So when you think about your talent has got to put a smile on your face, right? So think about what it is that you excel in. What do you like doing? And that will come up as you do this smile method. And then there's more detail as well with that in that book. So then looking at treasure. So what you focus on, you can grow more of. So do you know what the 7 F's are? So these are your entire wheel of life. So we've got faith, family, firm, finance, fitness, friends, and fun. So when you think about what you're focusing on with each one of those. So I have to tell you that the F for me, when I look at that and I think, oh, I'm supposed to be all of those things, doing all of them 100%, the other F word that I'm going to put in there is fraud. I'm a fraud because I'm not doing all of those 100%. It's fluid, right? And so you have to decide, where am I putting my attention? Where do I need to maybe refocus to maybe build this other F up more? So what you treasure in those 7 F's is also going to be revealing
about who you are, what you are, how you do life. And I will, I've got to do a call out right now. So with family, I would not be able to do what I do if it weren't for my husband, Dennis Burkhart. He is the stable one. He's the self-discipline. He is by the rule. He's all of that, and I'm all of this. And he watches me go a variety of places in just one day, in my head or externally as well. So thank you for being my rock, because he really has that stability factor for me, where I know that I'm going to get fine food. I know you've benefited from his culinary talent. And it's just, life is so much more full when you have those in your life that you can count on as family. I also want to highlight the finance part of it. We are dedicated to the art of tithing. And we've noticed that when we don't have angst about, oh no, I gotta do 10% or whatever it is, you know, that it's an amazing flow that occurs. So I wanted to point that out. And then I do want to do a shout out. So I've had some challenges this year which have exacerbated my focus on fitness. So if anybody wants to join me in a fitness challenge, I'm all up for it. I've got a Garmin watch, so I'm up for that. Check me on that. And then the fun part of it is our daughter, Kaylin. She doesn't hesitate to get me out of my element and let me know what's real and what we can do for fun. I'll tell you what, she is an awesome Uno gameplay. She knows how to do that, and she wins fair and square. I am just amazed at her ability. So with that treasure, look at those seven F's. You know, what is your treasure in those seven F's? What do you rely on? What do you focus on? Yes?
What's the firm?
Oh, thanks for asking. That's business.
Okay.
Yeah, so I kind of, probably that's too high up in my list, because I now have three companies that support what I do for Music for Life. I just created a foundation, Music for Life Foundation. I have the original Music for Life Inc. Corporation that has my intellectual property, and then I have Music for Life Technology Inc., which it distributes everything that I do online. So, yeah. So it's probably, my husband would say, too much focus on business, but that's what firm is business. Yeah. So what you focus on is what you're growing. So what are you focusing on? And do you need to pivot? So what does pivot mean? So pivot means being able to change strategic direction or core aspects. And, you know, what is that? So you may notice the red picture up here. This is the picture of the very first atom bomb that was detonated at Trinity Site in 1945 in New Mexico. 9 years later, I was born in Los Alamos, New Mexico, where the atom bomb was created, 200 miles from this detonation site. So we know about the half-life of plutonium and all those things that go into it. It was an amazing experiment that they did. This bomb was loaded with 13 pounds of weapon-grade plutonium when they only needed 3 pounds to have a fission reaction. And the heat that came from that explosion, that detonation, was 14,714 degrees Fahrenheit, 1.5 times hotter than the sun. The half-life of plutonium is 30 years. I was born 9 years to within 200 miles of that detonation. So, was the cancer caused from that? You know, I don't care. I'm not going to perseverate on that. That isn't, you know, we don't have a history of breast cancer in our family. I'm not going to focus on it. It does not make any difference to me. And I will say, I think that our society has gotten way too litigious with circumstances. And so I believe that when you can focus on what counts for you, that you need to grow so that you can be more focused on how you can serve, how you can be of help and support for our world at this time. So, pivoting, you know, what kind of boat are you in that you want to steer with life? And so we're going to watch a video right now. It comes from the Next Level Soul podcast with Alex Ferrari, and he's interviewing John Davis. And it's an interesting, we're just going to hear, you know, like a minute of it, but he has an interesting perspective about the boat.
Standing in the middle of my boat. 100 feet in front of that boat, that water has no shape. It's just out there. When it comes to my boat, it splits off and creates the shape of my boat. Then after it passes my boat, it creates a wake and a swirl.
Okay.
The water is the time and the substance of the universe. The boat is the shape of my belief. The wake is my subconscious mind. The cool part is I get to choose what kind of boat. I get to choose the kind of boat that I have, right? And healing, can I believe?
Thank you, Brian, for that. So thinking about these words, and the whole podcast is really kind of interesting too, but I just wanted to focus on that snippet because the water represents time and substance of the universe. The boat, it's the shape of your belief. The wake of the boat is your subconscious mind. So what kind of boat are you choosing? Is it a canoe? Is it a yacht? Is it an ocean liner? What matches your depth and breadth to be able to pivot beyond negative conditions? What is the boat you are choosing that shapes your belief about how you do life? So my mother, from a very early age, taught us about how to turn lemons into lemonade. So it's about looking at the positive aspects of how you do life. And when something comes in as a lemon, sour, how do you shift that so that it has a sweeter ending? And then Tracy Chapman's words were interesting, water words, but this one specifically was referencing, are you so upright you cannot be bent? So if you are so uptight that you cannot fathom anything else beyond what this little world is all about, how can you shift beyond that? How can you create this flexibility in your emotions, in your mindset, in your physiology, in the way you behave? How can you shift and change that? And another clue is having that attitude of gratitude, that when you can shift your attitude into being grateful for whatever did come up that you don't particularly care for, that is going to happen. So case in point, 2019, I'd been on this fabulous wellness campus in Las Vegas for 7 years, working with 150 patients a week. So over that course of time, I documented, I don't know, like over 35,000 entries in medical records. And all of a sudden, a dear friend comes up to me after a corporate meeting in my office. They kicked me out of my office, comes up to me and says, Judith, I'm so sorry to be the one to have to give you this news, but you're being evicted in 3 weeks. I'm like, what? He goes, yeah, we're closing the campus down. Everybody's getting evicted. I'm like, wow. I am so sorry that you had to be the bearer of this news. So I immediately start feeling sorry for him instead of me. And my immediate response was, wow, there is something better happening here. COVID happened a year later, and the shift that I made gradually had me completely stored and working out of my home and already building another new website over that year, not knowing that we were going to be going into a different mode.
Amen.
What is the attitude of gratitude when something hits you in the face? Are you so, you know, not bending at all that you can't see, because the door closed, you can't see the window that God opened? You know, what is that like for you? So, looking at being in God, not just with God, because to me that seems a little bit of like a separation. It's not with God, it's in God. So this picture is one that my husband delivered to me. And I looked it up online. Oh my goodness, if he had bought the canvas that's a 4-foot by 6-foot painting, he would have spent $20,000 on that picture. So it was a print. But I love Stephen Lavaggi's work. And so this glimpse of glory is an interesting art that when you look at wanting to enliven what you do, choose the arts, surround yourself with the arts to be able to feed spirit, to cultivate spirit, and to support meditation, listening to your inner voice. And when you do that, you may also find things bubble up for you about ways that you can seek to serve. What feels good for you? So I decided on my journey that I got called on to be involved with my Western region of the American Music Therapy Association. So I committed 10 years of my life serving through presidency and all of that, interacting on a national scene. And it was my privilege to be able to work with so many music therapists across the country in leadership positions, or looking at unity here. You know, this fabulous brunch that we had yesterday honoring all the volunteers, you know, it is really a privilege to be able to serve amongst those of us that have the same faith and to have fun serving in a variety of capacities, no matter whether you're weed eating out there or setting up the food, or being on stage and helping. So we're going to go through some music. The music prescription is an interesting one. I'm going to play a piece of music that may startle you, but the whole idea of a music prescription is that it honors your broad emotional landscape. It allows you to take yourself from that not bending pose to having music that might validate a part of you that is like really pissed off or really not comfortable. So if you see the US up there, the U part stands for unsettledness. And we have those emotions, anger, anxiety, depression, sadness. They're a biological part of us. You're never gonna get rid of them. It's how long you stay trapped in them that can create problems. So in music therapy, this protocol honors and validates those emotions. So we are going to listen to a piece of music, not for very long, so grab it while you can. And just notice how you might have a part of you go, yeah, I kind of like that. Or, no, is it going to stop soon? Just notice what your reaction is. And I'm going to ask a little bit of questions after that, and then we're going to move into meditation, and we're going to experience soothing. So it's interesting when you get emotional tension out of the way by validating it with music that might help you to release it. It might assist you in being able to go into a deeper place
to meditate.
So let's try it. All right, all I got to do is push the button, right, Brian? Okay. All right, here we go.
I can't escape this hell. So many times I've tried, but I'm still caged inside.
So if you liked it,
you can listen to all 4 minutes of it. If you didn't like it, that was probably just enough for you. But notice, did anybody resonate with the music at all? Oh, see? So I never count on getting 100% because we're all so different, right? Emotions and music are very subjective. And what you say right now could be different tomorrow. So with that, we are now going to shift into a more soothed state. So I welcome back Gran and Paul. Let us turn inward now. I invite you to gently close your eyes or soften your gaze. Take a slow and let it out with ease. Remember, there is one presence and one power in the universe and in my life. God, the good, omnipotent, that presence lives and moves in me and as me. I am a unique expression of divine life. Rest in that awareness. Feel the peace that comes from knowing you are never separate from your source. you treasure. It might be a person, a relationship, a quality, or a colleague.
Something that brings a smile of joy and meaning and light into your life. Simply allow that treasure to arise in your awareness, knowing your heart expand in appreciation for the many ways Spirit shows up in your world. Now ask silently within, how may I serve this treasure with love and wisdom? How may I let Spirit express more fully through me today? And as you return to your breath, know that you are guided by divine mind in God. You are supported by the power of love. You are a channel through which goodness flows. Take a conscious breath in and release. Wiggling fingers and toes, and when you're ready, softly
opening your eyes. Carry this treasure with you. You are blessed, and you are our blessing. Noticing the sequence that we just went through, of validating any unsettledness first, and then moving into meditation. Was that more effective for you, or was it not? Anybody have comments about this kind of sequencing of music? Yes. Very effective. Mm. Yes. Okay, I got a thumbs up. Yes.
It was very calming for the fact that when we had the
So let's talk about quickly what that's like. Prescriptive music. There's actually a three-step method. Finding the correct music, which could be different for each and every one of you. And by the way, this method honors all genres, as you probably figured out. And then, what's the right moment? Well, the right moment is always the present moment. Always the present moment. So it's about building your awareness about, what am I feeling right now? And then, finally, what's the best sequence to be able to shift myself from maybe feeling this, I can't bend, I can't deal with this, just make it go away, to being flexible and inviting, shifting, changing, moving with the flow. And experiencing what I call emotional fluidity, which is being able to fluidly flow through your emotional landscape without getting trapped in unsettledness. And you can also get trapped in too much peace, where you're not validating what else is going on. It's like, no, I gotta keep myself in this peaceful state. Do not talk to me about anything else. And then there are those that have that grin and bear it, and everything is always happy, and they don't recognize anything else. So you can actually be trapped in a variety of emotions. It's not just anger, anxiety, depression, or sadness. So this particular prescriptive method is available. We have an app for that. Right now, it is free and available. To access the emotional profile quiz, where you find out if you're trapped in emotions or not, and then how your music listening habits might reflect that, and then what to do about it. So there's a lot of resources also that you can get through the app. And then the companion book has got, oh my goodness, dozens of case stories about how this works effectively with deep trauma. And then I had the guts to spill personal trauma. Thriving through cancer, harassment, addiction, four marriages, raising a blended family, surviving airplane mishaps, living outside the United States, growing several businesses, and most importantly, adopting our newborn granddaughter, who's now 5. So, how can you manage all of this? Imagine being able to have this experience with others, no matter whether there's conflict or not. How can you transform your relationships because you're honoring your talent, your treasures, you're spending time with those 7 Fs, and really creating that transformative combustion with others where they want to be with you? So you could even have new conversations around music. You know, I've discovered that when I'm networking with people or being in the car with somebody I don't know, I just automatically start off with, well, what you got for music? I'm looking for some new stuff. It's amazing what comes out of just that question. And then you start finding out what they prefer. And then you start finding out, gee, this protocol tells me that maybe what they're listening to is keeping them trapped in behaviors that could be injurious to themselves or somebody else. And now what do I do about it? So there's a lot of resources for you to figure all the rest of that out. So music has been that constant thread for me in transforming my life through a variety of situations. And I'm so grateful that you join me today in merging time, talent, and treasure into our lives that thrive. Thank you.